Just to say that Joanne and I have not talked in detail about our presentations, but hopefully mine will build on hers. And I did appreciate very much what you were saying, Joanne. And a lot of what Moan and I have been talking about is how we can go ahead on this. And particularly one of the issues that you mentioned that I see as key is this. So the one of the key issues that I heard yesterday and that Joanne talked about this morning is the word understanding. I think when I've listened to some of the presentations over the last couple of days, we see a lot of progress in terms of what's happening with BMPs in general, and that's the theme of my talk with what will follow. But part of the issue is we have not yet developed an adequate understanding of what's happening, why it's happening, how it's happened, etc. And that's where, as we designed this workshop, Saina, Mohan, myself, we're looking at what can we do in terms of in promoting some kind of follow-up activity. And so what I'm going to talk about is trying to give you some ideas towards what we saw in terms of the past work and where we see some issues that may follow, and that there will be some kind of coalition network or some other mechanism that we will agree on with some kind of strategic plan, action, agenda to follow. And that a lot of it will look at what I'm calling trying to understand better this BMP process and the cluster management process. And so what I'm going to present are just some ideas that I hope will provoke discussion, agree, disagree, whatever. What we would like to see is some kind of action to follow. Before doing that, if you could just look at your booklet, all of you should have in this booklet some of the, not only the agenda, but if you go on, there's a paper that Mohan and I have drafted that is the basis of what I'm going to present. So you have a written document here. We emphasize these are just ideas. This is a draft talking about better management practices and cluster management for empowering small-scale farmers, scaling up strategies, dated April this year by myself and Mohan. So you'll see that in the book. We hope, if you haven't already read it, you will read it sometime, and that we'll use as a basis for further discussion. You will see in that document we have provided some draft recommendations, which were written a little while ago. We have also started, we've put copies of some of the papers, colleagues of mine from IDRC on scaling up, and then the paper Joanne has produced, as she mentioned, are also attached. We've also tried to pull together some of the literature. So you'll see in this document a draft bibliography. And this is a very initial cut at some of what we've been identifying in terms of pertinent papers, etc. And one of the things we hope is that all of you, where you have other literature that you know about that relates to some of these ideas we're discussing, that we will have a mechanism to collect and share and disseminate that. And we see, this process of this group in whatever form trying to follow up in building a database in terms of key papers, continuing to reflect on some of the lessons learned, etc. So just to say, have a look at this booklet if you haven't. These are initial ideas we're putting out for discussion, and we hope it will prompt various kinds of follow-up action. The other thing to say is that over the remainder of the workshop, what we're proposing to do is have two working groups that are going to follow. And what we're talking about is one working group that would look at issues and constraints. So the discussion we had yesterday, I think, was very useful. I found that coming to the heart of what I hoped would happen. And we started talking about, well, where are we? What do we know? What is our understanding about some of these BMPs? If we try to take some of the India experience to Indonesia, what can we advise Indonesia? And as we saw, at least what I saw, there were a lot of gaps in terms of what do we know and how well do we understand it and how well is it replicated. So I think what we would like to encourage today, tomorrow, is more thinking by this group about some of these issues and how can we proceed? How can we deal with this issue of transferring within India, but also to other countries in the region? Who's going to do this? What should be done, etc. So we're going to have, we hope, two working groups, one on issues and constraints, the second one on strategies and implementation. So the first one is sort of problems. What are the kinds of things we should be looking at? The second is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to do it, etc. So think about that. What I would like to do is then walk you through some of the observations that we've collected. And just to say that in terms of some of the efforts that we have made, what I did was last year in the fall, thanks very much to Ampita Naksa, I was given a guided tour around Andhra Pradesh and looking at the farms and seeing some of the activities. Here you see one of the Google Maps that was shown yesterday of one of these. This is the cluster called Sri Gauri. So I was able to visit a number of these activities, and I'll give you just a quick glimpse of some of that. Ponds with aeration, etc. Flooding. This was in the rainy season. It was very, very wet. It was a very interesting trip in many ways. We had two flat tires, too, by the way, that made it more exciting. But the staff from Naksa looked after me very, very well. I had very good discussions with the ground-level coordinators, the people that were working with the farmers. We spent time interviewing the farmers, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go along. We visited some of the harvesting areas. We saw the process of selecting, and you see here the ladies doing a lot of this work. Here you see it in more detail. So it gave me a very good opportunity to see how some of the operations are taking place, what are some of the positive things that are happening, as well as some of the constraints, etc. And so this is what I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about. I'll describe some of what I saw, add some of the comments that Saina Mohan have been providing, and then hopefully we can get some discussion going, and that over the rest of today and tomorrow we can carry this on in terms of what should we do? How shall we move ahead on some of these ideas? So that's our proposal. So just to reorient, remind, what are some of the key challenges, particularly from when this work first started by the Indian partners and NACA? This list, in fact, is taken from the NACA website based on some of the previous work they have done. And it lists, in terms of a sort of a general status quo, where things are in terms of access to credit, insurance, etc., lack of these enabling policies and programs, compliance with the food safety standard issue, the disease problem, which was a major driver, as I was saying yesterday, meeting this market issue. We were just discussing about markets, and I'll come back to this in some suggestions. Meeting the environmental and ethical standards, wildlife, biodiversity, etc. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, including this issue that Mohan has talked about earlier on certification. And then a whole set of issues around access to knowledge and part of that very much, I think, builds on what Joanne was talking in terms of learning-based approaches, etc. So this is sort of the broad picture of challenges and where we are. So some observations, and these are primarily mine. These are meant to be just giving you a general update. There can be debate, obviously, about a lot of it, but I mean, my overall impression was one of there was very good progress. I was very impressed with the work of NACSA and the clustering process and the level of success in terms of implementation. And that my take-home message from all of this was that the farmers do respond very well to these kinds of well-thought-out solutions, particularly, as Joanne was saying, if they are developed with their participation, that they are co-developed. And it was very much this process that I was very impressed with in terms of the Indian groups working with the farmers and basically getting rid of this real serious disease problem and moving now into a very effective series of production systems with farmers doing very well, as some of my slides showed. And so I started looking at some of these issues in terms of some of what Joanne was saying, and particularly I wanted to highlight a couple. So there seemed to be a very important set of questions around key people, these lead innovative farmers, cluster leaders, and key organizations, and particularly, as I say, the work of NACSA and the kind of activities that were undertaken at the local level, state and national level, and we'll come back to some of that. I'll show you a slide of one of these farmers, Mr. Murthy, who unfortunately I gather is unable to be here. He's got some family illness or etc. I had a very long interview with him, which I taped, by the way, so I have most of this material on tape if anybody wants to hear some of the discussions and the questions that we were discussing, etc. But he was one of the first, I think he was the first cluster leader. This was the first trial in Mugurtul, I think is the place. And Mr. Murthy was very, I think, symbolic of these kinds of people that we need to use more effectively in the follow-up process. And this is partly my message to this group, is we need more of these Mr. Murthys. This is Murthy and trying to build on these kinds of lead farmers and strengthening the clusters is, I think, a key part of this message. In general, the approach, one of strengthened lesson learning and knowledge sharing, I see as very useful and has been very effective to date. This project is funded through an EU, meeting, in fact, and the project that's associated with it, an EU project, ASEM, which uses this idea of communities of practice. I don't know if people have come across this concept, but I think, again, it's another concept that was mentioned yesterday, but is something you might look at. The use of knowledge platforms, at least for some of the partners, I think may be very useful. Web-based platforms, etc., is another issue. And I hope people will think more about what are other mechanisms to promote this sharing, etc., and particularly where we're talking about doing this not only in India, but with other countries in the region, which we hope might be one of the other follow-ups. We've talked a little bit, Dick mentioned it this morning, about the market issue. And as I was saying yesterday, when I went around to the farmers, the first thing they would ask me, they assumed that the market was going to be the key issue, and that was the first thing they would say to me. Prices are very good right now. This was last year. I think prices are about the same in the present situation. But They wanted to know what's going to happen to the market price for shrimp. Going to go down? And if it's going down, as you were saying, then we have all kinds of constraints. So I think one of the issues that should be thought about more is markets, what might be done in terms of trials to help farmers better compete in these markets. And there's a whole set of issues that I'll come to in a minute in more detail. But for instance, you know, we heard yesterday, I think it was Chandra Mohan and then Raj Kumar were talking about some of the work NACSA has done. One case of organic scampi. Another case in terms of selling to Cisco. Now, for various reasons, these activities have either stalled or, in my terms, and I apologize if I'm speaking too strongly here, they haven't really been looked at. I mean, I go back to this issue of understanding. So the organic scampi started out in a very positive mode and looked very promising, but when I was there, the word I got was basically it did not work. And exactly why was not totally clear. It seemed, and this was based on very, very limited discussions, etc., that there were a combination of initially very high expectations in terms of market price selling these organic scampi in, I think it was Switzerland, the reality of what that price gradually translated into as the farmers were producing, but it also became a problem of being able to transport it, you know, container loads, refrigeration, making the mechanics of getting it to the buyers, in this case in Europe. So there were a whole set of issues there that I think need to be looked at. Similarly, the Cisco story, which looked very promising in terms of selling to this major buyer in the U.S. But for various reasons, partly unsaid, this hasn't really been looked at and is sort of stalled, as best I could tell. So I see there's a variety of bits and pieces of markets here in India where, again, we need to understand in more detail what's happening, and we need to talk more about sharing some of these lessons among farmers, among others in the value chain, among the various other agencies, including those from the research. And then another issue, and I'll come back to this a little bit further, that I wanted to highlight is clusters, and particularly the social organization issues. We heard a little bit about this, but I don't think we adequately understand clustering and what's happening and the heterogeneity, I call it, of some of this. Another issue relates to information and communication technologies. We had, in fact, hoped to have a speaker here talking about the use of cell phone and other kinds of technologies in terms of knowledge access for farmers. I mean, you know all this. All the farmers have a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. So increasingly, there is this opportunity in terms of everything from price data, but now they're developing extension information and a variety of other things. My colleague Simon can tell you more about some of this, where I think there are a lot of opportunities in terms of using cell phones, since most of them are already using them, in terms of some of these processes. All right. So just a few more words. This is Mr. Murthy here. When I was at his house and we spent a couple of hours, in fact, discussing some of this. So my suggestion is that NACSA and the other partners are using these kinds of key people. I think we need to do more. And so my suggestion is to talk about how can we build on these innovative farmers? Can we use them in more workshops, exchanges? They have these different fairs. And that basically we need to take more of this innovation and learning approach. And I think that fits with some of what Joanne was saying in terms of her Lao experience. If you look at the health literature, and particularly in Africa, some of this work in terms of getting out ways of dealing with some of the major health problems talks about a concept that they call positive deviance. Positive deviance to me means trying to look at some of our farmers who, for whatever reason, I think some of my NACSA colleagues were talking about, they don't always follow all the BMPs. That's almost heresy to some. You follow the BMPs, that is the law. But in fact, we may learn a lot from some of these people who don't follow, because they may have, in fact, very good reasons why they don't, and that's what some people call positive deviance. And so I throw that out there as another issue in terms of things that may be looked at. I'm not speaking against BMPs, I should reemphasize, but I think there are some ideas around studying these farmer clusters in more detail that will contribute. So continue to use these lead farmers, continue to experiment with the market links. We attended a workshop, for instance, in Kakinada that NACSA had looked at, and I'll show you a little later. The issue that was suggested there, and I think it came up yesterday, is that the producers and processors need to experiment more with different kinds of marketing processes. At that meeting, one of the processors, Devi Seafoods, offered to work with clusters. They offered a variety of mechanisms in terms of contractual relationships, etc. I went around and talked with a lot of the clusters about this, and they were very interested. Some are concerned, and there's a whole set of issues that need to be looked at. But I throw this out again as trying to test new markets and find ways where these small farmers, these clusters, can in fact compete and fully compete in those markets. Saina mentioned the milk story here in India. We had hoped that, I forget his name, Dr. Yeah, was going to come and talk to us about milk and what has happened. The milk case, I think, offers a lot of examples, not complete comparison, but milk, as Saina was talking about, milk production, India is the number one producer. It is small farmer. They've had all kinds of problems, though, in moving to a more market-based and particularly related to quality and other kinds of issues from essentially a very small farmer-based activity. So what can we learn from the milk case? Are we looking at some of their material? Have we got some shared learning processes, joint workshops, or other things going there? It's unfortunate that this professor was unable to join us. NACSA tried to bring Vietnamese, well, they didn't try, NACSA brought Vietnamese farmers, catfish farmers, to India to see the clustering process. I think we need more of this. We need more of these exchanges. The issue is not whether you're growing catfish or shrimp. The issue is how can you work together as a small farmer and make best use or better use of some of these advantages that small farmers have by joining in clusters. And the, as Saina said, the Vietnamese farmers were very impressed with the clustering process in India, and why is this not happening in Vietnam? And so there is a whole series of further experiments now in Vietnam to see how clustering can develop around catfish production in Vietnam. So what can we do in terms of Indonesia and India? What can we do in terms of other kinds of sharing issues? I mentioned earlier the knowledge access issue and exploring new technologies. I saw Nokia, for instance, one of the major cell phone providers. They have, in fact, for agriculture, support for agriculture and providing, in fact, I think, research funding to, I mean, basically they're trying to sell their phones, but they are also trying to promote its use in terms of market data, price of inputs, and various other things. So are there opportunities to work with Nokia or other cell phone providers? How can we deal with some of these issues of making it better for the small farmer to compete in this new global environment? They are at a disadvantage, you heard earlier, in terms of some of this economic issues. the economies of scale are a negative. Is that the end of the story? I'm not sure. There may be ways that the small farmer, by clusters, and perhaps access to information, appropriate information, is going to be able to compete well. We've seen that in the early days of the shrimp farming here in India, the larger farmers seem to have either disappeared or not been as successful. I don't know that that's been really examined as to why. We see and we heard from some of the Indonesian presentations that there now are moves towards a much higher intensity of production, etc. Is that going to be the direction here in India? Is there economies of scale that are going to be, you know, insurmountable perhaps for the small-scale farmers, for the clusters? I don't know. When I, in my visits, talked about this in terms of one issue, feed. So the assumption and what people have talked about is that if you buy your feed in large amounts, you get a better price, etc. But at least the people I talked to, many of them didn't purchase bulk feed for various reasons. They wanted to buy it on credit. They didn't have enough capital. They'd keep the feed. If they bought a lot of feed and then they had a disease problem, remember, most of these farmers had come through a major series of disease problems, what are they going to do with their feed then? No shrimp to feed it to, and you've got a bunch of feed that's starting to rot or whatever. So, you know, there's a whole set of rational behavior from their side that maybe we need to understand. And although we talk about economies of scale, I wasn't sure how it actually was working on the ground. And when I look in the literature, I cannot find very much that's analyzing this, but that may be where I'm looking. And more generally, farmers talk to me in terms of, from their point of view, what they would like to see are things like infrastructure, you know, better roads, electricity, for them to be able to aerate, etc. For many of them, they don't have access to electricity. Some do. If they had access, this would be a tremendous advantage. Insurance. NACSA is looking at insurance, I think. I don't know if this has yet been finalized. They're looking at the traceability issue, as we heard. There's a whole set of documentation issues that were described by NACSA yesterday in terms of, you know, for many of the clusters, one of their biggest constraints is keeping these records. So now they have coordinators that do this, and so that's very useful. Are we making best use of some of that information that's being produced, and is there some comparison of it? I better move on. You saw this slide a number of times earlier. I wanted to come back to it, and just, I mean, as I said earlier, I was very impressed with the work of NACSA as an organization. And maybe I'm biased, and I'll admit that. But, you know, what we need are strong organizations to be able to push some of this. And we're up to now 700 and some odd clusters, I think, Mohan, is that right? So, you know, if I look back in my long years of work in the region and think back to cooperatives and fisheries co-ops 30 years ago and how abysmal they were in terms of performance. And then when I went and I saw what was happening here, I was truly impressed. I mean, they have really done a lot. And you could see when you go around and talk to the clusters and talk to the farmers how much it's appreciated. And so, you know, again, going back to some of what Joanne was saying and putting in my words, NACSA as an organization was filling a niche in terms of what I call the sort of hand-holding process of helping them to move through these new technologies, moving from this major disease crisis into a whole set of processes, these BMPs, on how to deal with it. And as best I can tell, it seems to be working reasonably well. So, you know, I think part of the take-home message is you need more NACSA-like organizations in other regions. You need that kind of strong, innovative, and what I would call opportunistic organizational behavior. So Naxa and its scaling up, so they've done quite a bit. I forget how many states they're now working in. Five? I think, have some data in terms of exchanges across the different states. I haven't seen very much in terms of what are the differences between them in terms of how BMPs are applied, what kinds of activities are starting to work better in one place and another. So again, looking at some of this, looking at what are some of the more innovative clusters, how can we share that lessons among them and then with others in other regions, etc., is part of my suggestion that we should look at. I was not able to get any information that Naxa was in fact having links with or looking at some of these other sectors, whether in India or in other areas. I mentioned the milk one. There's a very interesting story about pineapples globally and how if you don't get ready, you really lose out. Pineapples were a major production item in Cote d'Ivoire in Africa, Ivory Coast. And now it's shifted for a variety of reasons, and there's some very good analyses of this in terms of now being done much more in Costa Rica. So I think there's a whole set of issues there that Naxa should think about and that the Indian partners should think about. And then the cluster and processing experiments, should there be more in-house capacity in Naxa from a research point of view? There's a project called Regoverning Markets, funded by the World Bank, various other players, including IDRC, that's been looking at how can small farmers participate in global markets, and are they able to do so? And yes, they are, but there's a whole set of evolving lessons learned there, and I've tried to capture some of it just to give you a feel for some of what I see happening and whether this group sees looking at markets in a much more proactive way, I think should be part of that discussion. But that what they found is that markets are changing, and I think most of our farmers would agree with that. And this restructuring of markets is going to be very, very difficult, and I'll show a slide in a minute about some of the lessons from the milk story, but that it does work if you adopt a very sort of pro-poor and what they call pro-market policies. And so part of the story may be one of your approach and whether the institutions here in India are going to look at policies, not subsidies, but policy change that are going to at least equalize some of the playing field in terms of small farmer participation and how to help them to do that. One of the other lessons learned was that make better use of the private sector. So most of what we are hearing here is working through Naxa, a government or government-like organization. But that what they saw in some of this work, what they need to do is work more with the private sector, where they shouldn't be seen to be just trying to look at it from their own profit motive, but they can, in fact, be a partner. The groups that they interviewed, the private sector said, having clusters where they are organized is an advantage from our point of view. It gives us a group to talk to. We're not dealing one-on-one with individual farmers and having all of the scale and packaging and whatever issues to sort out. So it may be that what should be looked at more is private sector linkages, whether it's processor, as we were saying earlier, or other mechanisms is to be thought through. That the whole clustering process and collective action more generally, there's been a lot of research on collective action, and there is now an increasing body of knowledge in terms of how groups might collectively work together more effectively, and FO farmer organizations more generally are starting to get, I think, a better understanding of how they work. People talk in terms of quasi-memberships, and don't always assume that you have to work primarily through this farmer organization. There may be a variety of other mechanisms specialized with facilitation by NACSA and NACSA-like organizations that are going to be very helpful. The other thing that I took out of all of this was that there are few proven models out there, and that what we need to do is develop some cases of what works. So this is what I was... This is from a paper that Umesh and partners presented at an earlier workshop that we had. And this is the sales, the European Union, U.S., Japan. You see that sales, and I forget if this was in 2007 data. Anyway, a little while ago. But it's still, I think, more or less the same. In Indian shrimp culture is primarily an export product. And these are the primary markets. So from a small farmer point of view, there's a whole set of issues in terms of understanding those markets, keeping up with the understanding of those markets, what are the requirements to do so. So there was suggestions that these actors, say the producers here, with selected processors, work together, use the processor. They understand some of these markets. Now, they have their own profit motives, etc., but that what might be done is more experimentation by the actors in the value chain where you can find interested partnerships. And as we said, we heard specific examples where processors want to work with clusters. Can we do more around that? Can we do more in terms of other experimentation? Can you guide farmers in terms of looking at national markets more? There's a whole set of questions there that I think merit further looking. So, and I'm almost finished. What we tried to do is just summarize some of this in an overview sense and just a couple of slides to say a little bit about that. In general, and this is building on the experience from the milk sector, our impression is that the shrimp farming sector is not prepared adequately for what might be larger changes around markets, and that we should think about preparing for what might be changes, whether it's just a price change or a variety of other things are part of what needs more exploration. And that's where I think MPEDA and NACSA more generally are in an excellent position. I mean, MPEDA is an export organization. And so I think there's a whole set of issues there that would be excellent if we can look at ways to try and promote a more small farmer-oriented market penetration thinking. Another suggestion, in a general sense, move the discussion from the earlier driver around disease and BMPs that are oriented towards solving diseases into something that is perhaps more innovation linked, and particularly around this issue I mentioned about market participation. But also maybe we need to look at appropriate policies and whether there is a policy environment that is going to allow and, in fact, encourage some of this. One of the other issues I put in is what I call the sustainability and image issue. I mean, this was mentioned earlier by various presenters, but shrimp farming still has a bad image. As was mentioned, destroying mangroves and what have you come up over and over again. Shrimp farming is thought to be, in many countries, Sena and Mike Phillips came to Canada and made a presentation a number of years ago. And the big question was around, oh, these are all large corporate farms, bad guys in India that are producing the shrimp. And it was, you know, it was this misconception that most of these marketplaces, North America or Europe, still have this view that shrimp farming is run by big corporations, they destroy the environment, etc. So there's a whole set of images that we may need to think about. We still have, even though there's been very excellent progress, I think relatively weak institutions. We and particularly don't have of visibility, and this is again to your market and various others that are outside the inner circle. I see a variety of problems around this. People don't understand what's happening, not just the size of the farms, but how they produce. And so I think we need to think more in terms of what I call influencing strategies, that trying to get out a message about how good production systems are working, and that this is done with, you know, all of the BMPs. No chemicals, less disease, not damaging the environment, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a whole set of literature. I was talking with Dr. Agang about some of this in Indonesia versus here. And we're looking at some of the issues around this and certification. And so I think there's a whole set of questions there we might talk about. I mentioned earlier the private sector links. We need to show that this can work. Small cluster farmers working with processors. If that works, we need to be able to show it and get that understood and then see whether it can be replicated, etc. There's still, as we discussed, and a lot of confusion at various levels about certification and how to do it. So we need to try and look at more carefully at this issue of certification and particularly, I think Dr. Panaya was mentioning, how can we better position small farmers in terms of this debate and what can be done? And as we heard from the earlier presentation by Joanne, understanding success and looking at what can we do around drivers and change processes and how to capture more generally lessons learned. Last slide, I hope. So we see a whole set of market, farmer production, economic analyses, traceability. There really hasn't been very much work done on this yet, and it's probably going to be a coming issue. Social analysis around clustering and related processes, looking at ICTs and how you can level the playing field for small farmers and using various kinds of information sharing technologies, etc. Giving small farmers voice, helping them in terms of some of the some of the processes that are taking place, particularly at a global level. My hypothesis is that, in fact, the WWF process and where it's going, that part of the problem was small farmers were not very well organized, were not able to speak in terms of the issues from their point of view. And so the process in many ways was unbalanced. It was controlled by a very Western, Northern, whatever you want to call it, market-dominated set of views. And I see this happening in a number of other cases, and it's something maybe we can talk about. As production increases in these coastal areas, and as we heard, there's increasing use of the various streams, et cetera, are there carrying capacity issues? A couple of others, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind. It's a little bit of propaganda from old IDRC days, but when we talk about results and the results chain, inputs, activities, outputs, papers, et cetera, but we need to get more over here. We need to be talking, again, Joanne mentioned some of this, about outcomes and impacts. And so that's part of what this issue is about, is looking at how do we promote more of these outcomes and ultimately impacts. And so we're talking about, in some cases, very long-term processes, 5, 10, and more years. And we need to reorient our thinking in terms of some of those time frames. Take-home messages. So I see NACSA and PETA has done excellent work. Keep it up. We need to build on that. We need to develop some kind of an agenda. So we need to develop some kind of follow-up agenda, hopefully some kind of a network. And then there's a whole set of wider scaling out issues that I've mentioned, and I'll leave it there. I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman.